Good morning, 12th Street. Good morning. That's a good way to start the morning. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You know, this morning, we're going to talk about our Lord and some of his teachings. And it's a new series we're starting this morning, and it's on the parables from the book of Mark. And so, if you have a hard time understanding some things that are in the Bible, anybody here ever read the Bible and like, wow, that's hard to understand? Anybody at all? All right, good. I didn't have to raise my hand all by myself. That would have been very awkward. This morning, we're going to learn a little bit about why things are difficult to understand in the Bible, and then what Jesus' goal is for us in when we read the Bible, when we hear some of the things that are in there, and then what we can do so that we can apply those things to our lives, because some of those things are a little difficult. So I'm really excited about this series. And along with this series, tonight we are starting our small groups. And so there are three locations. One is right here at the church. And so if you bring, if you have kids that you bring to youth group and you'd like to come out and be part of a small group, then there's one right here at the church. It'll be perfect for you. It's a great time of fellowship. Then we have one that's meeting in Pawpaw and one that's meeting in Portage, South Portage area. So I'd like to encourage you to be part of one of our small groups. Also tonight, youth group starts. And they're making a tweak to the youth group schedule. So parents, you need to hear this. Instead of going from 5 to 7, it's going to go from 5 to 6:30. Okay? So youth group will be done at 6:30. And Nate has told me that there's a couple... There's a need that they have. Right now, Nate is looking for some people that'd be willing to come and lead a small group. And so if you have teenagers, that'd be good. If you don't, but you feel like, you know what? I'd love to lead a small group. And by small group, Nate's thinking like four. He'd like to have a 1-to-4 ratio, one adult worker for every four teens. And so if you're thinking, you know what, I could do that. I could lead a small group. He'll give you the material. He'll give you the questions. And it'll be a neat opportunity for you. So if you'd like to do that, then you can see Nate. Nate, raise your hand. So everybody, all right? So he's a tall, bald guy. All right? So look for the shiny head. And so if you'd like to help with that, then make sure that you see Nate. Today, immediately following the service, there's a baby shower for Rachel Sage, and so ladies, keep that in mind. And our benevolent fund right now is really low, as in nothing in it, okay? Joel, are we at negative money? We might be negative in there. I don't know. It's just enough so that we can keep the account open. All right, so if God lays it on your heart that you'd like to contribute to the benevolent fund, you say, what is the benevolent fund? We use the benevolent fund for when there's someone that has a need. Okay, and we use it for people in our church first. Sometimes there are people in the community that call and they have needs, and I always have an opportunity to witness to them before we give them any financial help. Well, right now, that fund it's zeroed out. So if God lays it on your heart, then I would encourage you to give some money toward the benevolent fund. That's something that we do above and beyond our regular tithes, and so it doesn't come out of the general fund. It's when people decide to give toward that fund. And if you'd like to know how you can help with the benevolent fund, then you can see Joel Ritzma. Joel, raise your hand. Joel's got the patriotic theme going on with the shirt this morning, so you can find him. I want to say thank you to everybody who helped with Rickman House. I heard some great things about that on Friday night, so thank you, everybody. It's great to just serve and just to do it. Also, there is a church excursion to the Creation Museum and Noah's Ark. And so, if you are planning on going on that, or if you've thought about it, but you didn't have enough details, there is a short meeting after church today. And so, you can go to that meeting. Cheryl, where's that meeting taking place? All right, so the meeting's going to take place right down here, right up front. So, make sure if you would like to go to that, all the details will be given for that. Deacons, there's a meeting September 20th for the deacons this Wednesday. Keep that in mind. And committees, if you're on one of the committees, your meetings are next Sunday following the morning service. And so we really need committees to get together. It's budget time. We have to start talking 2018 budget. So I want to encourage all of our committee members to make sure they make it to their committees. The LAC, that's Our Ladies Alliance for Christ, they are working with alternatives counseling. Alternatives counseling gives ladies an opportunity to not go to Planned Parenthood, but seek Christian help when they are looking at a pregnancy, whether it's unexpected or whatever the case is. And they provide good godly counsel. They help these ladies. And so right now, what that partnership is going to do is they are collecting items for pregnant mothers, and pregnant mothers who may not have the means to take care of the baby. So there's a list of some things in the bulletin, and starting tomorrow, or even if you wanted to get something and drop it off today, but starting tomorrow through October 1st, there will be a crib out there, and you can just put the stuff that you purchase for the to help with those babies in that crib. And the ladies' Bible study started this last week. It went really well. Ladies, it's not too late to join. If you'd like to go to it, it's on Tuesdays from 1 to 2:30 p.m. And also, Wings of God is celebrating their fifth anniversary, their fifth birthday. And so if you'd like to participate with their celebration on September 21st, there's information there in the bulletin for that. Autumn will be in the lobby if you'd like to help with Trunk or Treat, and or with sidelines. If you'd like to adopt a teenager to be a blessing to them, then she'll be in the lobby, and she'll meet with you about that. There are more announcements, but we've talked about enough, all right? It's good to have a lot going on. I'm really glad that we're starting up small groups, that youth group's getting into full gear. Awana started up Wednesday, and so if you have children preschool through fifth grade, I'd like to encourage you to have your children in Awana. It's a great program for Bible memory. So let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all that you do. I thank you, Lord, that our Jesus is Hosanna. He came in the name of the Lord. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I thank you, Lord, that when you came, that you taught, and you taught in ways where we can read it today, and it still has significance in our lives. And so, Lord, as we study your word this morning, I pray that we would just we'd be blown away by who you are. We would be encouraged with what we have going on in our life because of what you can do, and that we would have hope for what you will do. And so, Lord, just be pleased with our singing, with our giving, everything that we say and do today, Lord Jesus. We just want your name to be lifted high. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. We're going to open with Your Grace Is Enough. satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we're able to gather in your house. Father, we thank you that we can sing, "It is well with my soul," because of what Christ did for us on Calvary. Father, we just pray for Pastor Thad as he comes now. We just pray you'd pour your spirit out on him and open our hearts to your word, that we might get what you have for us today. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for all who gathered here to hear your word. Lord, may what we do today and what we do every day glorify you. Lord, bless this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
To change lives today. For he changed me completely. A new life is mine. And that's why by the cross I will stay. I believe
Hey, thank you very much for having us over for dinner.
Our pleasure, our pleasure. Have a seat, have a seat. Come on in.
Jan, that lasagna was fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Nobody beats my Jan's lasagna, oh. I tell you.
Oh, no. Oh, can I give you another soft drink?
Oh, no, thank you.
No. Oh, no, thank you. No, thank
you. Honey bun, please.
Okay.
Oh, thank you. Oh, yeah. That's good, thank you.
Okay. Now, what shall we do next? Maybe a little Scrabble.
Yahtzee.
Password.
Well, we were wondering if you could help us out with something.
Oh. Well, sure, what is it? Have a seat.
Well, you two go to church, right?
We sure do. We go to 12th Street Baptist Church, don't we, dear?
Oh, yes, sir, Ray.
Yes.
10 years now.
And counting.
Well, we've never been to church. I mean, no bits and pieces, but very little about the Bible.
And so we thought, since you go to church, you probably read the Bible.
We sure do. Oh. It is the foundation of our beliefs.
The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me.
For us.
It's a song. It's a song. Yeah.
Right. Well, we were thinking about becoming Christians and wonder if you could tell us about the Bible.
Well,
yes.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
You want me to start?
Yes.
Okay. All right. The Bible starts back in the book of Genesis, where...
Oh, Genesis. The book of Genesis.
What did I say?
Genocide.
Oh, sorry. Oh, no. Book of Genesis, where God created Adam and Eve. He put them in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Wait, I thought it was the Garden of Eden.
Oh, well, it could have been. There's so many gardens back then, I just can't keep them all straight. All
right. Adam and Eve, they just walked along in the garden all day long, and they would pick fruit and call each other names.
Yeah.
Ew.
Well, I thought they named the animals.
Oh, they did that too.
Right. Well, anyway, well, not long after that, God kicked him right out of the garden. He just got tired of all that name-calling stuff and everything. And the world got so bad, he's like, I'm going to destroy it with a flood.
Yeah. That's where Noah came in. And Noah went out, and he got the bulrushes. Mm-hmm. And he just built this big ark. I mean, it was so big that God could put two of every kind of animal in that ark. And then the flood went away, and the ark just landed on dry ground.
That's right. And for the next 40 years, those poor Israelites carried that ark around the wilderness.
That seems impossible.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's why so many of them died.
Oh, yeah.
They just turned to pillars of salt, mm-hmm. and some of them got run over by the golden calves.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yep. Hey, but that's when Moses came in. He walked across the Red Sea with those Israelites in tow.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Jesus walked on the water.
Oh, he did. Yeah. They all walked on water back then. It was just a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, didn't Moses carry down the Ten Commandments from a mountain?
Oh, mm-hmm. She's good.
That's right.
She's good.
He did. Yeah.
What are the Ten Commandments?
Glad you asked.
Thou shalt not kill.
Thou shalt not steal. Yep.
Thou shalt not lie.
Yep, that's a good one.
Thou shalt not kick thy neighbor's dog.
No. And thou shalt recycle. Well, they were keepers of the land, you know. God gave them responsibility. So, and there were a bunch more like that.
Yeah.
Well, as a kid, I remember hearing stories of David.
Oh, yes. Okay. One of my favorites. David and Golgotha. Yeah.
Oh, you mean Goliath.
I'm sorry. David and Goliath. Goliath was from the land of Golgotha. Yeah.
Ooh, and you know that one about Samson and Jezebel.
Oh, Jezebel.
Yeah. All right, time out. Back the truck up. I thought it was Samson and Delilah.
Oh.
Yeah, he's right. Silly. He's right. Oh.
Pardon me. The Jezebels were the instruments that the angels played on that first Christmas.
Yep.
I got confused. Yep.
All right. Okay. So, what about those three guys in the fiery furnace?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you must mean the wise men.
No. I think he's talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and I better go.
Yeah. They weren't disciples, were they?
Oh, no, no, no.
Well, then who were the disciples?
Oh, those were Jesus' school chums.
Yep.
Well, then who were the apostles?
They were the cousins of the disciples.
Then who were the epistles?
Oh, the epistles were the wives of the disciples' cousins.
That's right. That's right. Yep. Yeah. And Jesus was a shepherd.
I remember Jesus being a carpenter.
Well, yeah, he was. He was a carpenter to the shepherds. So he would build corrals and fences for the sheep and those little nativity sets for Christmas.
Yeah.
And he was from Jerusalem, right?
Yeah. Well, he was, but until the wall fell down.
Oh, yeah.
Because those Philistines walked around that city 7 times because they were mad at the Israelites for not sharing their bread and 2 fishes.
Chaotic.
It sounds like it's pretty chaotic, you think?
Yes, the Bible is very chaotic.
Oh, well, that's probably because there's 166 books to read. Oh.
There are books in the Bible?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Oh, Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Don't forget Amos and Andy.
Our favorite. Yeah. Hey, let me tell you all about our favorite story.
Oh.
The night Nickelodeon came to Jesus and asked how he could be born again.
Jesus just looked up at that little man in the tree, and he said, "Let my people go."
And then there was light.
Yes. You know what? Why don't we just tell you the whole story?
No.
It's getting so late, and Jesse is with the sitter. He really should be going.
Okay, well, all right, but I just want you both to know if you ever, have a question about Jesus or the Bible,
you come see us.
Come back to us, and we'll have this conversation again.
Yeah.
The Bible seems so different than I remember it.
Dana, it's a new millennium. Things change. Yeah.
Well, thanks again for dinner.
All right.
Bye.
Come again. Come on back and see us.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that felt good.
What felt good?
It felt good to share God's word.
Oh.
You didn't have any idea what you were talking about, did you?
No.
Neither did I.
We gotta find that Bible.
It's around here somewhere.
I think like a year ago it was over on the bookshelf. Let's go see.
Oh, actually, honey, I put it in the trunk of the car. I have it wedged against the car jack so it won't rattle. Let's go.
Oh.
All right. Well, this time we'll dismiss the children to children's church. And was anybody able to follow the real stories that were happening? Or some of you were like, oh, yeah, that's right. That was a good one. I remember that one in the Bible. See, as we let's turn in our Bibles, first of all, to Matthew chapter 13, even though we're studying from the book of Mark. We're going to start in the book of Matthew chapter 13. You know, in this world that we live in, there's so much about the Bible that we've heard, so much that we're familiar with, but there's so little of the Bible that is understood. And what Jesus did is Jesus taught the people, Jesus taught in parables, all right? So we had a live, living parable here, right? A Bible balderdash of trying to figure out what does the Bible mean. You know, Jesus taught parables, but what he does as he teaches parables is he's not trying to make things easier to understand for the unbeliever. He's only trying to make it easier to understand for the believer. And as Jesus taught the parables, he taught them in a way where today, as we look back and reread them, we should have a desire to understand them. And we should be able to, because he taught for us as he taught for the disciples. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 13 and start reading in verse 10. We're going to read verses 10 through 17. It says this. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has." See, if someone does not believe in God, God does not give them more understanding. Before he gives, it says there, whoever has, to him shall be given in abundance. First, you have to have faith to be able to believe and understand. If you don't have faith, if you live in rejection, then you don't understand. Look at verse 13. "Therefore I speak unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Their eyes are dull, or their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them." So Jesus, he starts off, he tells a parable. All right, we're not going to look at the parable Jesus told them in this passage yet. We'll get to that later in the book of Mark. But after he tells the parable, the disciples are like, "Why are you speaking in these stories? Why are you telling these stories?" Well, first of all, let's define a parable. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It is a description of something that we could understand through life experience, but it carries with it a spiritual message, okay? So Jesus tells the disciples, he says, "It was given to the disciples and those who believed to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." The disciples, because they believed, it was given to them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It was not given to the unbelieving Jews to know the mysteries. And you're like, "Well, why does Jesus want to keep the mystery a mystery to those who don't believe? Wouldn't you think he would want them to know the mystery?" No, because until you believe in Jesus, the mystery does not make any sense. Until you trust Jesus, the mystery, it needs to remain mysterious. So the mystery is that Jesus is the Messiah. And he is the only one who can provide entrance into the kingdom. So here's the mystery. When you read about the mystery in the New Testament, and you read that word, and some of you are like, you feel like the couple sitting on the chair there going, "Oh," and you're trying to understand it, and you're trying to explain it. Well, simply put, here's what the mystery is. The mystery is that Jesus is the Messiah. That's the mystery. And Jesus is the only one who can give anyone entrance into the kingdom. And then the fifth thing that we see here that Jesus says about these parables, Isaiah prophesied that they would not be able to understand what they were told. And so as Jesus speaks, he speaks in ways where they should, if they believe, they would understand, but most people didn't believe, so most people should not understand. So you're sitting here and you're going, "This doesn't make any sense to me. I thought Jesus wanted everyone to believe." He does. But as Jesus teaches some of the deeper things of the kingdom, those teachings would be lost, they would be worthless, they would be completely nonsensical without a belief first in him. And so as he teaches these deeper, and he teaches deeper things through stories. All right? Don't you love stories? I do. My favorite preaching is to preach stories, okay? Because there's so much application you can find them. But also in stories, you have to figure out what does the story mean and why is it here? And so let's look at one of the stories that Jesus told. And it's a real short one. It's surrounded by some more solid, concrete things. But it's in Mark chapter 2. And this will be the first parable that we're going to look at. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning, meant for the disciples and those who believe to understand. Those who don't believe, they're not supposed to understand it. And it reveals, every parable will reveal a mystery about the kingdom of heaven. And the mystery is that Jesus is the Messiah, and he is the only one that gives entrance into the kingdom of heaven. So Mark chapter 2, let's start reading in verse 15. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, the his there that he's talking about is Matthew. Matthew's one of the disciples. He's also an apostle, and he did not write an epistle, okay? But Jesus, he's going through town, and he sees a man sitting at the receipt of customs, which is, he's a tax collector. He's collecting money from the people. And Jesus looks at him. It's Matthew. And he says, hey, you, follow me. Now, Matthew's sitting, he's collecting money. He's collecting money for Rome. And as he collects money for Rome, he gets to set the, Rome has their price, and then his pay is whatever he decides it's going to be. And so he's upcharging all of his own people in the name of Rome, but he's padding his own pocket. And Jesus looks at this guy, Matthew, and he says, follow me. And Matthew leaves. I mean, what job can you think of where you sit there and you write your own paycheck? That's literally what Matthew was doing. And Matthew gets up, and he starts following Jesus. And Jesus goes, hey, let's go eat at your house. So they go to Matthew's house. Now, Matthew invites his friends. All of his friends are a whole bunch of sinners. Anybody here have sinners as friends? I mean, all of his friends are sinners. So Jesus goes into Matthew's house. Let's read again chapter 2, verse 15 in Mark. It came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he says to them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. And they come and they say to Jesus, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples don't fast? And Jesus said to them, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. No man also, and here's the beginning of the parable, no man also sews a piece of new cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece that filled it up takes away from the old, and the tear is made worse. And no man puts new wine into old bottles, or else the new wine does burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottle will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles. So you hear that parable, those two verses there are the parable, about the new cloth can't be added to an old garment, and the new wine can't be poured into an old wineskin. So we hear that, and maybe some of you are going, oh man, I wish I understood that. The reason Jesus shared this with them, it was based on their unbelief in Jesus. And he's trying to show them who he is. He's revealing the mystery to those who can understand. And to those who don't have the mystery that Jesus is the only way to heaven, that he is the Messiah, there is no understanding this. And the Pharisees, they've refused to accept Jesus as the Messiah. They've already made that very clear. They're instead looking to throw shade on Jesus' message. And so, here's what they say. How can you eat with publicans and sinners? We fast. Our disciples fast. They're looking at the perfect Son of God, and they're trying to show that they are better than him. They're trying to tell Jesus, our ways, our practices are more holy than yours. I mean, now, we're all human here, right? Yeah, yeah, y'all look human, so. We're all human. So we all know that we fail. The difference with Jesus, he is the Messiah. He is perfect. As he leads his disciples, he leads them perfectly. The way that the Pharisees led their disciples, they were not perfect. They were trying to keep and follow a law that they could not keep. But they changed it so they would look good in the way that they kept it. Jesus doesn't change the law. In fact, Jesus isn't real concerned because he is perfect. He naturally fulfills the law. So here's what he tells to his disciples. He says, the parable here is a plain truth. It's a plain truth, okay? Jesus is the groom. Number one, Jesus is the groom. Israel had been called by the Lord the wife many times. And he'd used many illustrations to show them that they were not faithful in their marriage to him with the covenant. And so here's what Jesus does. He brings it back to an illustration that they understand. That there is a relationship that God had with Israel. And he takes it further, and he says that this relationship, he says, I am the groom. Well, then what does that make us? The bride. And Jesus says, when you go to the wedding feast and you're with the groom, you don't fast. You eat. Okay, if you're like me, you go to a wedding, you break your diet, okay? You got to have a little bit of that wedding cake, right? And you're going to eat part of that meal, even though it's always filled with garlic and butter and all the things that are wonderful. And there's always like a creamy sauce or something, right? And it's and rolls and all the things that you're supposed to not eat when you diet. But when you go to a wedding, you don't care about that because you're with the groom. You're with the bride and you're celebrating with them. Well, Jesus, when he was here, he says, you need to celebrate. I'll be gone soon enough. You can fast then. But this is why they don't fast. So then Jesus gives the two parables. And here's what they mean. Jesus is the new cloth. Okay? When you try to sew Jesus into the old traditions of the people, it will not work out. Jesus will not be sewn into the Old Testament because he is the covenant keeper of the New Testament. And so when they tried to say, oh, we're going to make you live according. No. He's the New Testament. And so to sew Jesus into the fabric of the Old Testament, here's what happens to the Old Testament. It falls apart all around him because he has created something better. Not by the sacrifice of animals, but now it's his sacrifice of his own self with his own blood. And so when you bring Jesus into the Old Testament falls apart around him because he is better than the Old Testament. Then he tells them, well, let's turn real quickly to Matthew chapter 5. Just want to show you this real quick. Jesus didn't break the law. He fulfilled the law. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, Jesus says this, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Think of the covenant, the Old Testament, all the laws, the Ten Commandments that, the couple couldn't quote there, okay? Think of that, those Ten Commandments, not as something that Jesus broke, but Jesus completed them. Every human that's ever lived failed when it came to the Ten Commandments. Every human, except for Jesus. He kept them perfectly. He fulfilled the law. And by doing so, he satisfied what no other human could do concerning the law. The Pharisees were trying to take Jesus and sew him into the fabric of their culture, of their interpretation of the laws. And Jesus says, you can't do that, because when you sew me, the new cloth, into your old ways, here's what happens. In Matthew and in Luke, as it shares these parables, you run it through the wash, and here's what happens. The material starts to stretch, the old material, but the new material, because it's new, stays strong, and the old material falls apart around the new material. And Jesus says, he's letting them know that he is the new material. Now, do the Pharisees get that? They're like, what are you talking about, clothing? You're not a seamstress. Do they get it? No. But you and I get it. The third thing we see in this is that Jesus is the new wine. He's the new wine. When you pour wine into new wine, okay, the new wine, it hasn't fermented. It's got the skins, it's got the sugars in it. And here's what happens when you have the skins and the sugars. Then it slowly will ferment. What happens when it ferments is that the gases begin to bubble up and it creates expansion. So when you take old skins, the old animal skins, and you put new wine into it, the old skins have already expanded with the old wine, and so they're at their limit. And then you pour the new wine into the old skin, and as that new wine begins to expand because of the sugars and everything that are in it, that it naturally has, the gases have to expand, it will cause the old skin to just burst and break. And when the people heard that, they're like, yeah, you'd be a fool to pour new wine into an old skin. Jesus is the new wine. When you pour Jesus into the old skins of the law and sacrifice, they break. When you try to put Jesus under the laws and traditions of the Pharisees, he busts them wide open. They cannot survive Jesus because Jesus busts their traditions. When anyone tries to put Jesus into the old life, he overcomes that old life. He will break it up. Jesus only enters into new lives. And what does he do with a new life? He fills the new life. He expands the new life. He makes it better. New only succeeds with new. The Pharisees, they hear this, they don't get it. So I'm going to help you apply this a little bit this morning. I hope you get this. Number one, well, first of all, because Jesus is our groom, we need to understand that life is different with him. Okay? Everybody can understand this who's been married. Okay? If you've been married, you understand life before marriage and life after marriage are very, very different, right? Okay? It is so much better after marriage, okay? So much better. But it's very different because you're not just caring for yourself, you're caring for your spouse. Before Christ, life is very, very different than after Christ. And if your life is not different after Christ than it was before you came to him, then you're not in the proper relationship with him. Because Jesus changes things. Number one, old religion. You bring old religion to Jesus, and you want Jesus to fit into old religion. You say, what's old religion? I don't know. What is your old religion before you trusted Jesus Christ? Was your religion like a name, like in being Catholic or being Lutheran or being Baptist or being Methodist? Was it your religion that you were trusting you to save or trusting to save you? Or maybe your religion was some kind of thought of yourself that you were good enough and you were smart enough and doggone it, people liked you, God must like you. And so you thought that there was something there that in your old religion, but let me tell you something about our Lord. He breaks up old religion. Jesus Christ does not fit into your religious system. I don't care what system it is. We don't trust a religion, we trust a Savior. And here's what he takes. He says, I don't want you to have a religion. He puts you into relationship where he is your groom and you are his bride. He is going to enter a relationship with you that will change your life for the rest of your life. Secondly, your old habits. You try to pour Jesus into your old habits. You try to sow Jesus into your old habits. He will bust you up. It's the truth. This is what this parable's all about. You put Jesus into your old way of living, he just totally breaks up that old way of living. He does not tolerate that. He's too good for that. And because he brings you into a relationship with him, you are too good for that as well. And he will bust up those old habits. How about your old failures? Some people, they just live in their failures, and they can't ever get out of their failures. You know what? When Jesus comes into your life, he is the new patch. He is the new wine. And you know what he does? He rips your old failures out. He says, I'm not holding you accountable for what you have done. He says, I am going to hold you accountable for what I have done. You see, we sin, we fail, we live for ourselves. Every day we do things that are contrary to him. And every day he says, I died for you. Because Jesus knew that what we could not do, he was strong enough to do. We could not keep the law. We're all part of the old garment that falls apart. We couldn't do it. So Jesus says, I will come and I will live for you and then I will die for you. And if we trust him, he comes into our life and he doesn't want to be sowed into this old life. He wants to give us something new. He wants to give us something better. And so don't live in your old failures. Thirdly, or fourth thing, your old guilt. He breaks them up. He breaks all that guilt up. He busts it wide open in his own victory. Guilt's a really, really nasty thing. Because guilt is a constant reminder that this old life is still around. Guilt's a really bad thing because guilt shows that your life has been stretched out as far as it can and your conscience just can't take anything more. So here's what Jesus does. You pour him into that, he breaks it all up. He wants to create in you a new heart. He wants to make of you a new creature. So I brought something to help me illustrate. Here's a modern day parable to help us understand the parable that Jesus shared. I brought my phone with me. So if you ever call me, you know, I just pick it up and, oh no, there's no dial tone right now. Why is there no dial tone? It's not plugged in. Do you remember the days when you had phones that you had to plug in? I mean, could you imagine me trying to take this in my car with me? I'd need a really long cord. And do you remember when you had to dial 411 to get information on a phone number? And do you remember that you used to be charged every time you did that? I remember when Google first came out, before there were cell phones, and you could actually call Google and they would for free give you the phone number from their business. I remember when I learned about it, I was like, oh, that's so cool. I saved so much money. Okay? Didn't have to dial 411. Remember, when you wanted to know somebody's phone number, you had to look it up in a phone book. And it was a really big, thick book. Like, anybody that carried around with them was nuts. But I had one in my car. Because sometimes that was the only way that I could find somebody as I was making visits. This is the old way. And then the cell phone. I could go outside and talk, and I didn't have a cord holding me down. If I wanted to find something, I just real quick, I jump on the Google machine. And the Google machine, it gives me the answers of whatever I need, right? It gives me phone numbers, it gives me addresses, and if I punch the right button, it will tell me how to get there. And it will even speak to me and say, turn left. This thing never did that for me. And I paid just as much. In fact, I paid more. I paid $75, the last bill that I got when I had one of these, for my landline. I pay $30 a month for this. If I try to take this way of living and bring it back to this, this fails. In fact, if I said, I'm going to get rid of my cell phone, I'm going to go right back to a landline, I'm making my life really difficult. In fact, there's a lot of things that I have become so accustomed to in my life today. I wouldn't get anywhere. You'd call me and say, Pastor, I need help. And I'd be like, I can't get there. I've got this phone. And you see, this is what Christ does for us. He gives us a new life. And it's better. It accomplishes more. It does more than that could ever do. And you know what? It doesn't cost you $30 a month either. It's free. It's the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you this morning that if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, that old life, he does not want you in that anymore. He's better than that. And he's made you better than that as well. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have no idea what you're missing. You're still living like this. And you have no idea what it's like to be set free. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you that you love each and every person that's here. Lord, you save us. You save us from that old way, because that old way, it was impossible. That old way, it fails. But you, Lord Jesus, you give us life. And so, Lord, if there's anybody here right now who They're trying to sow their life in Jesus into the old way of life. I pray that this morning they would just fall before you, that they would give you their life, that they would trust you. Lord, you have so much better for them. I pray for any here, Lord, who have never trusted in Jesus Christ. I pray this morning, Lord, they would find out what freedom there is in Jesus. I pray that they'd experience the expansion that comes into their life and the way that their life will grow with Jesus and not be busted apart by him. So, Lord, I pray that we would learn from the parables this morning. Help us to love you more for what you've done. And as we close the service and singing, I pray, Lord, if anyone's never trusted you, they'd have the courage to just come to the front, shake my hand, tell me that they want to trust Jesus. And Lord, this morning, you will radically transform them. And Lord, if there's any Christians here that just need to come and kneel, say, Lord, forgive me for trying to sow you into the old, that this morning, Lord, you give new hearts, you give new lives, you change us. And I pray they would experience that joy of getting back to their salvation. So, Lord, just bless this time as we sing from the inside out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. And I invite you to do whatever God would have you do this morning.
Times I've failed, still your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all
I
This morning, we just scratched the surface of these parables, okay? We just scratched the surface. Tonight, I want to encourage you to get out to a small group and dive deeper into them, and you will get so much more out of it. So don't miss that opportunity. Also, if you're planning on going on that excursion to the Ark, then right up here at the very front, as soon as we're done praying, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you're such a great God, that you knew that we could never, on our own, do anything that would be good enough to get us to you. So I thank you that you did it all for us, and that now, from the inside out, you change us. You make us new. You allow for us to grow in our life, to experience great things, because you are a great God. And Lord, if anybody here, if they're still right now struggling with placing you into their old ways, God, I pray that they would drop those old ways. I pray, Lord, that they would not leave these doors today without saying, God, I give it all to you. I surrender it. And Lord, if they do that, you're a great God that will shine your light on them, and you will bring into their life some activity and some attitude that are praiseworthy. So now to you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the conquering one who will return soon. To you be all praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Have a wonderful day.